You are listening to the TriCast Gaming Podcast.
Greetings and welcome everyone to episode number 2 of the TriCast Gaming Podcast. I am your host, Philip Keeney, and I am joined, as is customary, by Mike Martinez.
Hello.
And Adam Garcia.
Hello.
Each and every week, we get together to channel our virtues through the Triforce to provide you all the latest news and general thoughts from the mythical world of video games. We are new and largely doing this of our own entertainment, simply because we love video games. If you like what you hear, please consider leaving us a like and a review on your podcasting app of choice. If you really enjoy it, or you're my mom, I'm still your son, thanks for supporting me! Please consider sharing on social media and the like to your friends. You can find us on Twitter at TriCastGamingP1 and on Facebook at TriCastGamingPodcast, or finally our website, TriCastGamingPodcast.com. Pretty easy to remember everywhere we're at, TriCastGaming. All right, everybody. Before we get started, I saw this on Twitter earlier. You know, sports are coming back, but they're coming back without fans because we're still in the middle of all this coronavirus stuff, right? So In England, they started with the Premier League before they really kind of got to sports here in the United States. Over there, because there's no crowds there, they thought, well, that would kind of sound lame on TV. So they started trying to pipe in crowd noise. But they picked, instead of like pre-recorded stuff, they picked FIFA. They're like, let's take all the crowd noise from FIFA. But but here's the worst part. They have somebody that triggers the crowd noise. So I'm watching these games and I'm like, oh, he's about to shoot. And then I hear the like, the crowd disappointed. I'm like, wait, now he's missed a shot. I'm like, oh, for fuck. So what's happening here is the guy in the stadium is obviously seeing things exactly as they're happening. But because I'm watching through some stream feed through NBC via some satellite over England piping down to the United States, by the time it gets to me, it's like 15, 20 seconds behind. And so I've already known that he's missed the shot or he scored the shot before I even actually see it. So I had to start muting it. Or I found if you go through NBC Sports app that you can get like a natural sound. So all you hear is what's in the stadium and the commentators instead of this stupid crowd noise. But yeah, that annoyed me. But I saw another one earlier on Twitter today. Baseball started up. And so instead of having these empty stands, they're putting these graphics over the stands to simulate people in the crowds. And some people like are entering these competitions and they're getting their face on there so they can be seen in the stands. But the one I saw earlier today is the camera pans as the batter's walking back to the dugout and the graphic the graphic doesn't stay on the stands. And so like all you could see is the bottom half of this guy walking and the whole crowd popping over him. I'm like, oh man, they really need to figure this out. This looks really dumb.
I don't know why they thought why just leave them empty. I mean, the baseball stands are always empty anyway. Every time I watch a game, there's hardly anybody there. I mean,
unless
you're just taking a few people up.
Yeah, unless it's playoffs or something. But
yeah, there's no one ever there.
Yeah, I mean, I like what the Premier League did in terms of the crowd. They had these big banners and stuff like that, or pictures of fans on a TV screen. That's kind of cool. But like, they didn't try to superimpose everything onto the stands. I saw another one in MLB the other day where they had a picture of a giant baby, like a giant baby right behind home plate. And I guess it bothered the pitcher so much that he refused to throw another pitch until somebody was able to get this off of the superimposed. I don't know. It was weird. I don't know. I don't like it. They need to bring fans back as soon as is safe. But it's just, it's a bit strange. I don't know. It's really funny though. Go check out the MLB fans graphic that they're putting onto these stands and see what's going on out there. It's wild. What about you, Mike? Crazy. Did you see anything funny these past couple of days? You're telling me about a TV show or something.
Yeah, there's this weird game show on Netflix called Awake where people like, I just kind of have a rough idea of what it's about, but essentially people like go in a room, count as many quarters as they can within a set amount of time. I think it's 24 hours. It could be wrong, but they got to count as many as they can in that set amount of hours. And whoever has counted the least gets kicked off. I believe there's like 4 or 5 contestants, and the rest of the guys or girls will do these like challenges that kind of are a little more difficult to do after being awake for 24 hours counting quarters. I think it's 24 hours. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's
but yeah, hours. It's it, yeah, and there's a chance to win $1 million in there too. I just don't know exactly what the details are, but it looked interesting to me.
And where's do they the get show? To keep the quarters?
I think so. If I there's like some wager at the end of the game that if they guess something right, they get to keep all the money plus the $1 million.
Huh. I would hate to have to lug giant bags of quarters. It's like a bank robbery gone wrong.
Wait.
All we have is quarters.
Is this TV show the reason why we're having a coin shortage?
It's probably.
The coin shortage, I think, is related to the COVID stuff again, because there's less people out shopping, so there's not as much money circulation happening.
I think that's
where that's coming from.
So it's not because the show stole all the quarters, right?
No, but that'd be probably a great not. Line. That'd be a great line. Show's
come
canceled.
Get your change.
Donald Trump has arrived. He needs his quarters.
Yes.
Oh man! So what show? What channel is this on, Mike? Did you say
it's on Netflix?
Netflix, okay. And it's called Awake.
Awake.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's already out, or is it coming out?
No, it's already out.
Okay,
I have a few episodes out.
Maybe it came out in 2019. What the heck?
Yeah, I just recently found out about this from another podcast I was listening to, and I was like, "Oh, this looks interesting." So I looked it up. I'm like, wow.
Interesting.
I would actually be. I would actually kind of like to be a contestant, because at work, I have to count parts sometimes, which are like little screws, and I've mastered the ability to pick up 5 at a time with my fingertips. Like, I'll know exactly what 5 feels like. So I think I can do the same thing with quarters.
Interesting. They're a different shape, though. Do you think that would mess with your mind?
I don't know. But I think I could be able to feel what how much is like. After a few times of grabbing it, I can kind of like start feeling what it feels like to have like 10 in your hand or something. I don't know.
Also, why do you have to regularly count screws at work? What's the deal?
Because I'm pulling parts for other jobs. So like some require like 1,000 of these tiny little like PIM parts. And I just have to pull them for other jobs that we have to do.
Are these jobs not worked locally or something? You can't just have a common stock and let people come grab what they need?
I am the people that come grab what we need.
Very well, then. I'll accept the answer. Well, I'll have to maybe go check that out after we get done recording. But Adam, I think I shared it to you, I saw there was some news about your Bill and Ted 3 movie.
Yeah, week. It's actually going to be released both in theaters and on demand.
That's exciting. Now you don't have to go get COVID just to see your great movie.
But that was half the fun.
Well, I wasn't going to die to see it.
True. But I also did see something interesting on Twitter. Apparently it resurfaced. Like, it was released 4 months ago, believe it or not. You know that image that I shared with you guys? I dug a little bit deeper, and apparently on Space Jam 2, not only are we going to see the Mask, Joker, and Pennywise, we're also going to see Voldemort, the Bandit, and the Wicked Witch of the West in Space Jam 2.
This sounds like somebody's trying to give kids nightmares.
Yes. I think so. And a lot of people, like, oh, I looked at the YouTube video, and a lot of people are saying this is the end game for Warner Brothers.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
it's not. No.
I mean, it's not, but it's just it's going to be a terrible train wreck. It's probably going to make the new version of Charlie's Angels look good.
Well, hang on. So you're telling me that Elmer Fudd can't have his shotgun anymore, but we can blast kids with Pennywise, Voldemort, all these other evil, crazy looking characters? Is that what you're telling me right now?
That's the rumor.
Oh my gosh. You know, I love Space Jam as a kid. I used to have the Space Jam basketball outfit. I wore it all the damn time. I love that. But this, I don't think I can. I'm out on Space Jam 2.
I think
yeah,
I
had I'm not really too. I'm not all about it.
Yeah, I've been against it for 5 years already since they announced that they were going to do it, and I'm like, nope.
There's no reason to. The old one still holds up just fine. No reason to do it again.
And yeah, and honestly, I'm not a basketball person whatsoever, but I know the difference between Michael Jordan and LeBron James.
Oh, maybe yeah, that's what it is. Since LeBron James is it, you know, and he's supposedly like, you know, a Satanist, maybe that's where all this is coming from.
Probably.
He's a Satanist?
Right.
I don't know. If you get real deep into the deep dark,
you gotta go Twitter webs. Deep. Yeah.
There's this whole thing, this whole conspiracy that like a bunch of people in Hollywood and whatever are Satanists, that they're actually all worshiping the devil or some weird shit, man. It's, you know, it's the internet. Mm-hmm. There's some strange conspiracies out there, but this can't help it. Surely.
Yeah, surely not.
Okay. Well, guys, we are a video game podcast, and as much fun as it is to talk about LeBron James worshiping the 666, maybe we should get into video games. Before we do, though, just a little bit of housekeeping. Remember, if you want to send us questions, you can shoot us a DM on Twitter or on Facebook, and we'll check those out and we'll integrate them in the show as best we can. I looked several times. Nobody has reached out to us yet. So we're definitely hoping that some people write in and we'll read out what you have to say on the show. Number two, last week we did a special episode dedicated just to the Xbox Showcase. Please go check it out. We went deep into everything Microsoft announced at their, we'll call it the Xbox Game Pass Showcase. Hint, hint for something coming later in the show. And number three, just as a reminder, we're going to release the show every Friday by 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. So that's when you can check us out. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. If people start writing in and they have other places that they prefer to listen to their podcasts, just let me know, and we'll try to get it anywhere else people like to see their podcasts. All right, so let's get into our typical first topic, all about video games. What are we playing? So normally I like to pass this to somebody else, but I think, Mike, we're going to talk a lot about Grounded. So before I pass it to you, I want to point out a couple games that I was checking out this week. I was going through Game Pass, trying to find a couple different things on there that looked interesting. And so I found these two, and I tried them out. So I want to talk about them a little bit. The first one is West of Dead. So West of Dead is a ISO view cover-based twin-stick shooter. I know that's a lot of buzzwords, but essentially it's not top-down. It's more of an isometric view. Think like Diablo. The idea is to move cover to cover, and then you're using the two sticks to shoot your guns, to aim and shoot your guns. The art style is like a comic book art style. It looks really good. That's what drew my eye to it. That, and it's narrated by Ron Perlman of Hellboy
fame. Oh, nice.
So it's got a lot of interesting narration through it. Now, the part that really snagged me on this, I only played about an hour, is it's a roguelike. So you start out in this saloon, and you start moving through levels, and when you die, you lose everything, and you go back to the saloon, and you start again. that's not really my type of game. I don't like to feel like I've wasted time. Now, there are some upgrades that you get that you do keep. So eventually, I guess, you know, you'd be strong enough to move on. But like, I got to this first big boss on like level 2, and he hit me like twice and I was dead. And I was like, well, I just wasted an hour. So, but it's developed by a group called Upstream Arcade. It's just four people. They used to work for Lionhead, which Lionhead, I believe, were they the Fable developers? Fable.
Yeah, they were the Fable guys.
So it's four guys that used to be working on Fable. They started their own studio, Upstream Arcade. This game launched on June 18th, so just about a month ago, a little over a month ago. It's on everything, but you can play it for free on Game Pass if you have Game Pass. Cool. All right, the second game I wanted to talk about was The Messenger. Now, this game has been around for a little while. It released on PC and Switch on August 30th, 2018. So that's almost 2 years ago now. And then it came to PS4 in March of last year. And it finally just came to Xbox One on June 25th of this year. So again, just about a month ago. It is Game Pass. You can go check it out for free if you have Game Pass. It comes from a studio called Sabotage Studio. This is their first game. And it was published by Devolver Digital. But this game, I mean, for a first game, I mean, this game is really, really amazing. It's inspired by Ninja Gaiden. So you play as this ninja dude, and it's a side-scrolling 2D action platformer. The first half of the game is all like 8-bit graphics, and then halfway through the game, it turns into a Metroidvania in 16-bit graphics. So it's got this little shift that goes on halfway through the game. But it's like the controls are really tight. You know, you have a lot of precision over what you're doing, and it does get kind of difficult. Some of the platforming, the combat is very much like one directional. You could swing your sword in one direction, you know, forward or back only at one time. It's very much like the old NES Ninja Gaiden games, and the soundtrack. Oh man, the soundtrack is so good. I really like the soundtrack. I got a couple hours into this game. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I definitely recommend anybody who wants to check it out. It's got a bit of like a tongue-in-cheek story too. Like these guys, they're all ninjas in their little ninja studio, and they're like, "We got to train for the coming of the great demon," or something. I don't remember what they call the bad guy. And they're like, "Why are we training? We're just going to wait for the Western hero to come and save us." And they're like, "But we must be ready." And then the demon comes in, and the grandmaster dude is like, "Oh no, we're not ready. Where's the Western hero?" And then everybody's dead in like 30 seconds. And it's just you left. And then out of nowhere, this dude flies in, and he's like, "Oh, are you the Western hero?" And he's like, "Yeah. Are you all that's left? You don't look too impressive. But all right, well, can you take this letter over to this place across the island? I'm going to go take out everybody. You go, just go deliver this letter, man. Just make it and deliver it." So it's got a little bit of a funny tongue in cheek kind of story to it. I definitely enjoyed it. It looks really good. I'm so impressed that this is the first game out of this Sabotage studio. So, but both of these games are on Game Pass. You can download them for free if you have Game Pass. I mean, in quotes, free. You do pay for Game Pass every month, but I definitely recommend them. Now, on to Grounded. Grounded, also Game Pass game, just came out into game preview on Tuesday. It comes from Obsidian Entertainment. So they're the same people that did Fallout New Vegas and did The Outer Worlds last year. And they're the team that are developing the new game Avowed, which is set in the Pillars of Eternity world. So yeah, they're also the Pillars of Eternity developer. Obsidian, obviously an Xbox first party studio now. They were purchased, was it last year or the year before? This game is a survival game. Mike, I'm going to pass this over to you. I think this is way more your genre. You and I, we played it for several hours the other night. It's kind of fun, but I think this is more your thing. So take it away.
Yeah, I mean, I went into it and it was like so, it was really polished, the way it looked, and I kind of forgot it was game preview, and then I started kind of finding the little bugs, and well, there are bugs in the game, just because you're shrunken down a child. But no, but there's like sometimes you'll see like some of the insects will get stuck in a rock. They do need to work on balancing some of the insects because Phil kept chain dying for like 30 minutes because he couldn't get his backpack.
True.
I think a roach kept killing him.
God damn.
But I should have expected it because it's game preview and they're testing the waters on like how to adjust difficulty. And I think they kind of like overshot it on purpose. That way they can, I think it's better to like nerf the insects than rather than like buff them. Just because, like, people had already been used to them being easy. Like, what the hell? This ladybug takes a shitload more hits to kill. But, yeah, I think they should balance the insects out and make them a little bit more easy to kill. And just because we were trying to get just an upgraded version of an axe, and it took... We never got it because we kept dying. And we couldn't really progress and, like, build our base the way we needed to protect us because we needed the upgrades from killing these insects. And they were, like, very... You get one-shotted pretty much and never able to get what you needed. But yeah, they need to balance that. The story, it looks like there's going to be a little bit of a story. We had to go get, what was his name? Burgle?
Burgle? Yeah, it was an acronym. I don't know what it stands for because it had, it was clearly like B.U.R.G.L or something like that.
Yeah, and that kind of intrigues me just because like there's a whole lab. And they're like, I'm kind of interested in see the story they're going to go with here. So there's going to be, I've never really played a survival. I'm pretty sure there are survival games that have a story, but I've never been in one that's had one or played one that's had one. And that's, I don't know, I kind of want to keep playing just as follow the story a bit and see where it goes. But yeah, that's pretty much, I mean, I enjoyed it, but that's my kind of game. Adam, I think you might like it too, especially if you like Raft. It's going to be a little more unforgiving than Raft, though, but it's still a good survival game for you and your wife to play.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun, at least from the gameplay that I've been looking at since you guys have been playing it.
Yeah, and the spider is like, you don't really think anything about it. Then you see one, one catches you off guard. It scares the shit out of you. Well, it didn't me anyway. I don't know about Phil, but like I would turn the corner. I would literally like jump in my chair because of how large they are.
They are pretty big. Yeah, I think it's important to point out that this is like a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids idea. So you play as this really small kid in the backyard of a house. So this, I mean, the map is really quite big. It would take me quite a while to run across it. I thought it was funny that they, you know, the distance marker off in the distance, it says, you know, 300 centimeters away instead of 300 meters. I thought that was kind of funny because your map is huge, but it's because you're so small. So you're only in just the backyard of this house. And that's sort of the premise. You wake up the game starts, you wake up next to this crate that clearly these kids were inside of. And then you got to try to figure out what's going on inside this backyard environment.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you notice, there's five like outlines of the kids in the briefcase, and you can only choose four. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen with that fifth one they're going to introduce. Like, is he going to be like? And also, why? Like, what are the? I wonder if they're going to the four different or five different kids. I guess in the future, like what they're like, if they're going to have specialties, because like after you die, it gave you the option to switch your character, and there has to be a reason why you can do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but right now, it doesn't seem like there's any reason just besides the lines they say.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a good shout. Of course, lots of story to get added. I started finding some of there are audio tapes that kind of suggest there's somebody doing experiments or whatever. Again, I mean, this is so clearly Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. I mean, maybe that's old enough that most people, you know, teenagers and such might not know that movie, but it's so obvious. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Dang, how old are we?
Old.
I mean, I think we're all over 30, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember when Honey, I Shrunk the Kids came out. It was in the 90s, early 90s.
Early 90s, yeah.
I mean, my sister is a freshman in college, and she was born in 2001. Or actually, she's about to be a sophomore in college, so.
Wow.
She was born in 2001?
2001.
Wow.
Yep. Well, there you have it. All right, yeah, that's Grounded. It's Game Pass. You can go check it out for free. The thing I noticed, though, I thought this was really interesting. It's been the number one selling game on Steam for the last couple of days. So it's $30 on Steam Preview as well. Of course, you could also download it through Game Pass PC. But clearly, this is attracting some attention because people are going through Steam. They're paying the $30 to get this game. It's the number one selling game on Steam for the last 2 days. So that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
So hopefully this is a good start for Obsidian. I know it's just a pretty small team that's developing this, somewhat of a passion project for some people within the studio. So, you know, don't be too worried about this taking away from Avowed or even the Outer Worlds DLC. These are three different teams within Obsidian that are working on these projects. So very good stuff. I look forward to playing some more this weekend of Grounded. All right, Adam, you're still moving. Any games, any mobile games, anything?
Yeah, I've gotten into a really bad habit of downloading a lot of the games that I see on ads. Because I get really bored. I mean, here's a good example. There's a game called Flipper Dunk, right? And all you got to do, it's basically like pinball. You get the basketball and you flip it into the goal, and like I've reached level 330 and I got bored. So like in the middle of the ads, I see all this other stuff, and there was one like golf game that I saw, and I was like, oh, this looks like fun. But the problem is, and I know it's not my signal because I'm on the Wi-Fi, but the problem is that whenever you try to like match up against somebody, it like times out, and like the quote unquote money you have to put in to play the game to win that money back, you lose it. And so I'm just like, well, what's the point of playing the game if I'm going to lose my coins trying to get into a game?
That's what you get for playing shovelware on the iTunes.
I know, right? But like,
you told me you were playing something else earlier, though, dude.
What was I? I play a lot of games, to be honest with you.
No, you're on your 3DS.
Oh yeah, like I did the other night. I picked up my 3DS and I played the Digimon. I forgot it's Dawn. I forgot what the actual title's called, but there's a Dawn and a Dusk. I was playing Dawn, and I really missed how I was able just to play that game with no interruptions. But now that I have a kid, it's like I can play for like 5 minutes, and then it's like I have to feed the kid, and I'm just like, I want to play the game, but it's like it's so time consuming, and it makes me miss having the time to like focus on these games that required your full attention. You know what I mean?
Yeah. God forbid that you need to, you know, provide life sustaining nutrients to your child.
I know.
You can't get in the way of Digimon.
I know.
Digimon.
But it's a fair trade. I mean, like I wouldn't trade anything for my son, no matter what, but there for like a small second, I was like, God, I remember just being able to stay up till 11:30, not have a problem and play like this for a long time, and now it's like I play for 5 minutes and I'm out. I fall asleep.
I can still do that, and it's nice. It's just like you remember, Adam.
Yeah,
it is. It's pretty awesome.
All right. Okay. Well, let's move on into the news. Now, I said last week was light, and it really was, and then we talked for a lot. But this week is even lighter. So I've created a preamble. A preamble to the news. So last week, Xbox Game Pass Showcase, I'm going to call it, came out.
Yes.
And we talked a lot about it. We got a whole show to it, so we're not going to go into that. But something I feel like I didn't really properly touch on, and I really want to say it here. Game Pass Ultimate, we're going to make fun of it a little bit in terms of, you know, they're really focused on that instead of talking about the console. But Game Pass Ultimate really is the best deal in town for video games. I mean, it is truly such a good deal. If you get Ultimate, $15 a month, you get Game Pass on console, you get Game Pass on PC, you get Xbox Live Gold multiplayer, and coming up in September, you get cloud gaming. So, I mean, you get all this stuff. There's over 100 games on Game Pass, and the PC and the console games are not always the same. All of the Xbox first-party studio games launch day and date there. You know, the show, not only did they have all those games that they announced at the show, like Halo Infinite and Fable and Everwild and State of Decay 3 and Forza, but they also had those third-party partnerships that that got announced, you know, from the 40K Darktide game to the Gunk, Crossfire X, you know, and not just in that show. I mean, I just talked to you about two games that launched on Xbox One and Game Pass in West of Dead and The Messenger earlier in the show. So there's lots and lots of value there. I mean, I think you can play Fallout 76. So there's big publishers featured in there too. Games that aren't behind us in terms of it's not just old games, is what I'm trying to say, if I could speak clearly. So I want to say that, you know, we might give the show a little bit of a hard time because they didn't really give us a reason to buy the console, but maybe that's not really what Microsoft want to sell. And if what they want to sell to us is extreme value of video games, I don't know why we should complain. I mean, the fact that a company as big as Microsoft is providing such a great value and such a great service to gamers, it really should be applauded. And even if you don't care about Microsoft, even if you don't care about Halo or Gears, you should care about the fact that Sony's biggest competitor is saying, we want to put gamers first. We want to give you incredible value. We want to give you so many options of games to play for just $15 a month. It's going to put, eventually, if they can really hit some of these new first party games, it's going to put Sony on a back foot. And right now, Sony just does not have an answer to Game Pass. And I don't think they have any plans to have an answer to Game Pass right now. So we really should applaud them. We really should at least give them credit for this. Mike, what do you think?
No, I agree 100%. I mean, having this back whenever I didn't have a lot of money, like, I would have loved this. And it's just, you get so many games, you know, and it's only $15, and you can, like, these games, you don't have to, like, invest in it, like, oh, it's on Game Pass, let me try it. Oh, I don't like it. All right, I'll just put it away. You know, you don't have to, it's just, you have so many options and to find something you like.
Exactly. I mean, $15 a month, it comes with your Xbox Live Gold. So that's $60 a year anyway. Now, I know typically people could find it for $40 or something for the year, but let's just take it at MSRP, $60. So you're really just looking at recovering the cost of two games. Just two games. That's all you've got to cover the cost of. And this pays for itself. You know, and right. I went and did a little digging. I'm just going to go through this list of what we could possibly see over the next few years. So Grounded just came out. We got Wasteland 3 in August. We got Halo Infinite in November. After that, I'm thinking maybe Psychonauts 2 early next year. After that, you've got maybe Age of Empires coming summer of next year. After that, Hellblade 3 maybe. After that, Everwild. After that, Compulsion's next game possibly. Then you've got State of Decay 3. You've got Forza. You've got Fable. You've got maybe In Exile's next game. You've got Avowed. You've got Forza Horizon 5 is probably in development with Playground Games. You've got Gears 6 coming down the line. And then whatever the initiative is, that is, if I laid this out, that is potentially a new game every quarter of the year from now until early 2024. From That's Xbox insane. First Party Studios. All launching day and date in Game Pass.
That's insane. And I mean, I said this to you earlier, Phil. The Game Pass will only be as good as Microsoft, as long as Microsoft continues to support their first party studios. Because like as soon as like stuff starts slipping there, the value might not be there anymore after a while. So as long as they can keep supporting their studios, this could be great for them. I mean, I want to invest in Microsoft, but I can't afford the $200 for the single stock. So, it's going to be great.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And you know, you've got PlayStation. They have their service called PlayStation Now. I think it's $10 a month. They have a bunch of games in there. They have a lot of PS2 and PS3 and PS1 games, and there's some PS4 games in there, but they're not putting their first party games in there. So, you know, I think they said,
that's just weird to me that they wouldn't do that.
I mean, I think for now they think that they are selling enough copies that they don't need to, that they're selling enough consoles, that they're selling enough copies of their games that it doesn't make sense to them to do so. But you've got 110 million PS4s nearly out there in the wild. And I think they were celebrating a couple million people in PlayStation Now. You've got about 50 million Xbox One consoles. And I saw an article at the end of April that they had crossed 10 million subscribers to Xbox Game Pass. So they've got, I mean, there's a massive difference in the attach rate of Game Pass on Xbox and PlayStation Now on PlayStation. And I think it's clear that it's because of the value of Game Pass and of them putting their first party games in there. Like you said,
yeah.
As long as they keep supporting it there with good quality games, you know, that's going to be the winning ticket for them. All right, Adam, I'm going to go ahead and move on to my other preamble topic because I picked this one just for you because you said you like controversies. So, boy, do I have a controversy for you here. I'm going to shit on Xbox now because Halo Infinite's graphics is all the talk of town right now. And they had several different people responding to this controversy. So I'm going to read a couple quotes to you, Adam, and then I'm going to see what your take is on this conspiracy here. So the first quote I got for you is from the narrative experience director, Dan Chosik. I think I said his name correctly, but he wrote on Twitter, "I've been in your shoes. I know what it's like to have expectations built plus feel let down. I want you to know your voice matters plus is heard. You're not falling on deaf ears. I always want to live up to the legacy that Bungie pioneered. I personally care a lot about honoring that." Then we saw in an interview with WCCF Tech, 343 studio head Chris Lee had the following to say. "I think for the response on the graphics, the thing I hope is that folks get a chance to check out our 4K streaming assets. I think that really lets our game show itself in full fidelity. We are definitely still very much in development. We have some polishing and tuning that the team is working on to really bring the full potential of our experience to fans later this year in Halo Infinite. We definitely are excited about the ambition of the title of this open, expansive campaign, and we'll make sure that it's polished and ready to go when fans get their hands on it this holiday."
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now I have my third quote for you. And this quite honestly ends in my favorite line. And this is where I really want to rip them to shreds. But here you go. We've got Xbox Games marketing head Aaron Greenberg on Inside Gaming. He says, "I mean, listen, we're in the middle of a global pandemic. It's July. We're far, far from holiday. You're seeing a work in progress game. With that said, you probably watched the stream in 1080p. So we have put up a 4K 60 frames per second on-demand stream. I'd say go back and look at that in-game 4K 60. It's very hard to show the full power and graphic fidelity of the Xbox Series X that we will be able to deliver for you over a stream." He goes on to say, "The other thing I'll say is this. It is a work in progress. So what you're seeing today, we see build check-ins every week, and they make progress week after week. So between now and this holiday, it's just going to get better and better. With that said, I thought it looked great. I thought it sounded great. I have also looked at it in 4K, so that makes a big difference. I'd encourage you to go back and look at that in 4K, and trust us that when you play it this holiday, it's going to be a visual showcase for Xbox Series X. I give it to you, Adam.
Oh, I don't believe a damn thing he said with any of that. Like, honestly, this is my biggest problem with this. Like, if you are advertising something, Sonic the Hedgehog is a perfect example. If you advertise something a specific way, and that's basically saying, hey, this is what we're offering you, give us your money. And then when people bitch and complain about it, it's like, oh, wait, you don't like it. I guess we could fix it. So to me, this is saying, oh, we weren't going to, if you didn't say anything, we weren't going to fix anything. We thought it was ready. You know, that's the way I'm reading all this. Like that, like does this guy ever, has he ever played any of these games? Like, is he actually a gamer?
Yeah, you know, I think Aaron Greenberg, he is. I mean, he seems to in general be a fairly genuine guy, but man, I don't like this. Trust us that when you play it this holiday, it will be a visual showcase.
Yeah, it's going to be a visual train wreck from what I'm reading on this.
It's funny because, like, I haven't played a Halo game in forever, so, like, I thought the graphics looked fine. Like, this looks great to me. Like, because the last game I really played on Halo was, like, Halo 2 on the original Xbox. And, like, yeah, this is a huge upgrade. And then I'm like, okay, maybe it's not a huge upgrade. But, I mean, it looked good to me.
But, like, but, like, the graphics in the little, what do they call it? Those little videos that play inside the game, like the little cutscenes. Cutscene, there you go. That looked great. And then when I saw the gameplay, I was like, oh. It kind of looks like the first one, but being cool. Like, I mean, the enemies looked a little bit better, but, like, I was kind of expecting more, a little bit, honest with you. But, like, at when I first saw it, I was like, oh, this is cool. Awesome. But looking back at it again, I was more impressed with the cutscenes than I was with the gameplay.
Yeah, I think the game in motion actually looks fairly good. It's when it slows down and you take screenshots of it and you see the texture detail and models that it starts to fall apart.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's like back in the day, like going back to a wrestling game, like whenever I would play a WWF Attitude, like back then I was like, oh my God, this looks just like Stone Cold Steve Austin. And then you play the next game and then you go back to it and you're like, oh my God, this looks like Stone Cold Steve Austin. What the hell was I thinking?
Yeah. Now do you think that there is that we should give them some leeway about we're in the middle of a global pandemic? I mean, I read that this demo was put together for E3, that they originally expected this to be for E3, and that they put this together back before a lot of the COVID stuff started. Do you think that we should give them some slack for that?
I mean, yeah, we probably should, but at the same time, using the pandemic, it just kind of seems like they're just using it as an excuse.
Yeah, I mean, it's because if they were going to show that at E3, then there was not, when they were planning that, there was not really a huge pandemic issue that, right?
Yeah.
Am I thinking that of my timelines correctly?
Yeah.
So, like, this is what they were planning on showing. Like, they didn't make this. They made this in their studio. They weren't doing this at home, right? Is that what I'm kind of understanding here?
That's true. Now, of course, E3 would have been about the first week of June, so it would have been you know, it would have been sooner than this Xbox showcase and they would have had to have something done by a certain date. Now I could see them saying, well, considering that we want this game to launch on time and we're going to have a serious setback in terms of going to work from home, that we're not going to try and make another demo here. And we're just going to stay with what we had.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, honestly, they led their show with it. They hyped it up all week leading up to the show. Mm-hmm. It disappointed. And you can't just gloss over that. But at the same time, I feel like you have to allow a little bit of management over the studio. I mean, if their leads are saying, look, we can either launch on time or we can make a better looking demo for this showcase in July, what would you pick?
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
that makes sense.
If I was the lead on the team, that I would make the choice of, we got to get this out alongside the Series X. I mean, that's priority.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I don't know. I think it's all very interesting. We'll see what releases this holiday with Halo Infinite. But for now, it continues. I think my favorite part of this is the meme of the brute that's going doing the rounds.
Yes.
Okay.
I will say this, though, that if it's anything like what happened with Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie, these guys are probably going to say something in the nature of, hey, we're having to rework a lot of this stuff, so it's going to cost more money, so please support the game and buy the game. Like, I think
it's going to cost more money. They just may delay it if that's the case.
Well, yeah, but it's still going to cost the studio more money because they're going to have to use manpower to up the quality on it. So it's going to, I honestly feel like we're going to see them take a loss on this financially.
We'll see how it goes. I think, I don't know. It was a very bad first impression, but I mean, who's not going to buy Halo? You know, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
I think it'll still be a good game.
You don't have to buy it though. Game Pass.
Yeah, Game Pass.
That's true.
All right.
That's true.
So as much fun as it would be to sit on the brute, Craig or whatever they named him forever, I'll just say one last thing. Digital Foundry did a pretty interesting video about lighting in that game. So go check it out. It sheds some light on what might be happening with this demo, pun intended. All right, let's get on to the news. We're going to shit on Xbox a little bit more. Rare are still playing with gameplay ideas for Everwild? ! I'm going to read an excerpt here from a VGC. Coming from an interview that was on Polygon, so maybe I should have pulled directly from Polygon, but whatever. We're going to go and look at a quote from their studio head, Craig Duncan, who described it as a very unique game. He says, quote, "We learned a lot from Sea of Thieves. At its heart, we love the idea of Sea of Thieves and players creating stories together. I think with Everwild, Louise O'Connor, who's the lead director for Everwild, and her leadership team are really passionate about giving players a world that they can just lose themselves in. You know, a lot of nature feels magical. So the notion of what does it mean to nurture a world? What does it mean to be in nature? Part of the reason we haven't talked a lot about Everwild is because we're still feeling a lot of these things out. We're still playing around with gameplay ideas. We'll have plenty to say in the future on that, but we have an idea we feel really passionate about, and we think there's something special. I have a team of people that wake up every morning with the desire to make this game that they're really, really passionate about." Mike, still playing with gameplay ideas? My understanding is this game's been in development for about 3 years. What do you think this means? I mean, is this game in trouble?
The way we talked about Sea of Thieves, like whenever it first came out, not a lot of content. There wasn't a lot to do. And I think Everwild is just trying to like keep that from happening. They want to give us something to actually play with. And it sucks. It's already been in development for 3 years. This will probably be delayed if they're still doing that, I think. But I'm still excited for it. If it's going to be anything like Sea of Thieves is, as far as like the mechanics in the game, what kind of game it actually is going to be, I think it's still going to be a great game. And kind of it's encouraging to me that they're really looking into that, just to prevent that. What happened to Sea of Thieves with a weak start.
Well, see, that's kind of what worries me is that, I mean, I think that the the key to, if you go and say, well, I got this idea for a magical world and I've got some drawings and it looks neat, and you just go down a path of creating something and you're like, all right, we got something, and you're like, well, what do we actually do in this game?
Yeah, I can see why that can be worrying.
That's a little worrying to me. Adam, how about you?
Yeah, it's worrying to me too. Like, there's only so many things you can do before you have to just throw your hands up and be like, you know what? We just need to finish this. And that's, it just kind of seems like they're just trying to do too much.
It could be doing too much. I don't know. Maybe they're trying to play around with different ideas of quests and types of things that you can do. Or maybe they're looking at rep in game and skill trees or something. I don't know. I'm gonna be hopeful. I was thinking that maybe this game was sooner than they were letting on, since it had been in development for a few years already, but I think we're pretty nailed on not seeing this before 2022 at this rate.
Yeah,
right. Yep.
All right, well, I don't want to be too hard on them. I'm gonna be hopeful for now, but yeah, I'm a little concerned with them still playing around with gameplay ideas. All right, item number two, Cuphead is coming to PS4, or if you're listening to this, is already on PS4. So the rumors started around the weekend time, I think, is when I started seeing some stuff pop up on Twitter, and they confirmed it on Monday, and the game released or launched onto the PS4 on Tuesday. The reason I wanted to bring this up, this game came out on Xbox on September 29th, 2017. So this game's been around a little while. It came to Switch in 2019. But if you haven't seen this game, go check out some gameplay videos of it. This is a 2D run-and-gun boss rush game that is all hand-animated in the rubber hose or Fleischer House animation style. So we're talking about like 1930s Popeye type cartoons, okay? And it's, the whole game is hand animated in this style. This game is absolutely beautiful to look at. If you have not seen videos of it, you've got to go check it out. It is very hard, so I don't know if I want to go, say, run out and play it. But, I mean, I beat it. I beat it in just a few days. It took some perseverance. Some of these bosses are really challenging. They're certainly start to turn into a little bit of a bullet hell feel towards some of the later game bosses. But I love this game. I think it's really, really a beautiful game to look at. And I'm really happy that it's come to PS4 now as well. You know, some people might be disappointed that one of the Xbox exclusives, quote unquote, is gone, but it was only ever a second party relationship with Microsoft. And so go check out Cuphead. Fantastic game.
Are you going to play it again to get the platinum trophy for it on the PlayStation?
Ooh.
You had to ask.
I mean, you collect those things, right?
I do. This game, so I started looking at some of the achievements when I played it the first time to see what other things I had to do. And I thought, I don't know. I don't know if I could do this. This was hard enough just beating the game in the first place. I actually, funny story. So it's not the last boss. It's the second to last boss. You have to fight King Dice. He's like the head of the casino. He's got a big, die for a head, and the way you fight him is he has a roulette wheel, and you spin the thing, and you have to, I think you have to do like a little action in the game, and it determines how far up the roulette wheel you go. So potentially you could end up being on this roulette wheel for a long time, but each square represents a little mini boss. So there's 9 mini bosses on this roulette wheel, and you have to get through. I think the minimum you can do, if you do the dice roll of the roulette wheel correct, I think the minimum is like 3 or 4 of these mini bosses that you have to fight before you actually get to King Dice himself. And when you get to King Dice, what he does is he plays out these cards, and the cards kind of look like the soldiers from Alice in Wonderland. And they march across the screen, and you have to actually bounce across them. But to bounce them, you have to time your little parry attack just exactly right as you're bouncing across them. But not every card is one that you can bounce on. And so, I mean, I would get to King Dice, and I would die almost instantly. And I was starting to get really, I was like, maybe I can't do this. Maybe I just cannot beat this game. And I actually found a cheat that his hand, when he flings out the cards, doesn't go all the way over to the far side of the screen. So if you get into the, if you kind of understand what he's doing and you watch him carefully enough, you can predict which side he's going to shoot the cards out from. And you just hightail ass over there. When you see the cards come out, and you just hide in the corner, and you don't have to do anything. You just hide in the corner. You can't get hurt. There's no way you can get touched. And then once he finishes shooting the cards across, you run out, shoot him in the face for a little bit, and then run back over to the side. And that's the only way I could beat it. So I don't know. Platinum trophy.
So you cheesed it.
I cheesed it, man. But figured it out myself. So I mean, I'm going to take credit for it. I got through it.
Right on.
But Cuphead, go check it out. All right, I'm going to move on. I'm going to go ahead and move on to item number three. Ghost of Tsushima is the fastest selling new Sony IP. So we talked a little bit about this game last week and how well it was selling over in Japan. But now we have word that it is Sony's fastest selling first party IP, original IP. So from Ungeek, following reports of the game's great sales in several countries, Sony has finally announced the opening 3-day sales Ghost of Tsushima. In just 3 days, the game sold over 2.4 million units worldwide, making it the fastest selling first party original IP debut from Sony. This record was previously held this generation by Horizon Zero Dawn, so a good generation for Sony. Back to Ungeek, the news of the game's success was announced recently via the official PlayStation Twitter. For reference, here's a list of the 3-day sales records of select PS4 exclusives, all from this generation. The Last of Us Part 2, which we also talked about last week, 4 million units. Final Fantasy VII Remake, 3.5 million units. Marvel Spider-Man, 3.3 million units. God of War, 3.1 million units. And Ghost of Tsushima, 2.4 million units. For reference, jeez, Horizon Zero Dawn took 2 weeks, and it was the previous fastest selling first party exclusive. Wow. And it took 2 weeks to get to 2.4 million units. So great success. Sony are selling a lot of first party games. Goes back to what we were saying about PlayStation Now.
Right. Wow. I watched some streamers play that, and like, I so badly wanted to play PlayStation just to play this game. It looks so good and fun.
Yeah. I've been waiting to get it. Just been messing around with a few other things. I'll probably get it maybe this weekend or next week. I'm pretty excited to try this one out too. Samurai third person action open world game.
Yeah.
Adam, have you seen it?
Yes, I have. It looks pretty interesting. I like it.
Did you see where you can play what they're calling Kurosawa mode, where it's all black and white?
Yes.
Actually, I didn't see that. That you could do that.
Yeah, they so and they cool. called it Kurosawa mode. I don't know if you're familiar with Japanese cinema, but I don't know his first name. But Kurosawa is a pretty famous director over there for samurai films. Hmm. Yeah. So, and you can change it to be all in Japanese with English subtitles. So you could play this game in black and white in Japanese with English subtitles.
That's interesting.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Pretty awesome. Okay, I'm going to move on to item number four. We've got Private Division to publish next game from Moon Studios. I plucked this one out because Moon Studios, we talked about them a little bit in the Xbox Showcase. They're the developers of Ori and the Blind Forest and its sequel Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Private Division is also the publisher that published The Outer Worlds for Obsidian last fall.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, here's from Gamatsu. Private Division has signed agreements to publish new titles from Moon Studios, League of Geeks, and Roll7. Moon Studios, known for Ori and the Blind Forest and Ori of the Will of the Wisps, is working on a, quote, compelling new action RPG. League of Geeks, known for Armello, is working on a new intellectual property. Roll7, known for Ali Ali and Laser League, is working on a new, quote, flow state game. All three titles are in early development and without a release date, with the first expected to launch in fiscal 2022 at the earliest. Adam, what is a flow state game? Have you any idea? Because I don't.
No. Like, I have no idea. I do have a question, though. Is Roll7 what we used for that D&D sprawl game that we played that one time?
No, that was Roll20.
Oh, well, I mean, I was partly right. I just got the number wrong.
Yep.
I was 23 number or 13 numbers off.
Just 13.
Yeah.
Just 13, yeah. Mike, I know you said that you're going to check out Ori and the Will of the Wisps later this year. Adam, have you played any of the Ori games?
I haven't played it personally, but I have seen that been played on Twitch a lot, which, I mean, it looks interesting. I like it.
Yeah, I don't want to get too far into this because I think at some point later in the year, we'll probably do a Games of the Generation as we get closer to the new consoles, and this will definitely be in my top 10. Ori and the Blind Forest, that is, will definitely be in my top 10. So we'll talk more about it there. I'm excited to see whatever Moon Studios comes up with next. Some people are disappointed that Microsoft never purchased them and that they're moving away from being a first-party exclusive game. I'm not too worried. I want more people to play Ori. It's on Switch already. Mm-hmm. It's not just on Xbox. And I think for Moon, this is good moving on to do their next thing. Working with Private Division, they're a good publisher as well. So should be exciting to see whatever they come up with down the road. Okay, number five, we're going to talk about FIFA 21 because...
Oh, you know for what? God's sakes, why?
I love FIFA. So they have announced some new career mode details, and I'm pretty excited about this. So from Push Square, perhaps the biggest improvement is the introduction of the interactive match sim, which allows you to monitor match data and make adjustments on the fly. It isn't as detailed as Football Manager, but the twist is that you can hop into the game at any time, taking direct control of the action on the field before hopping back out. Similar to the MLB, the show's March to November mode, you can choose to control the big moments like penalties and free kicks. So,
okay, hold on. Wait. Let me ask a question. Okay. So it's like this career mode. Because I've never played this game. I'm just trying to understand.
Okay.
It's like you kind of like simulate the games. Is that like, and then you just, you can pick and choose what games you want to actually play the game.
So you can play.
Or you can choose to simulate.
You can play all the games or sim all the games or a mixture of them. That's how it's been in the past. Career mode is like you start out as the manager of a club. You make the transfers. You know, you play the games. You win the trophies. You bring your success to Arsenal Football Club because that's the only way that they're ever going to have success right now is in FIFA.
Yeah.
But I find this really interesting because sometimes, you know, I like to sim some of the matches in the middle of the season because the season does get kind of long.
Mm-hmm.
There's like 50 games and halves are like 4 to 5 minutes a half. So like, you know, to get through a whole season, you're talking about, I don't know, what's the math on that? You can get maybe 5 games in an hour. If there's 50 games in a season, you're talking about, I don't know, 10 to 15 hours minimum to get through a season. And that's like if you're just fucking nailing it, like, but, you know, there's no way that you're really good. But I like this idea because sometimes I want to sim games, but like you have no control over, like, if you just lose the game. And so I kind of like the idea of being able to sim it and jump in, you know, in the last 15 minutes. You can add a bit of challenge to the game too, you know, make that epic comeback or whatever. So this looks pretty cool. The next item, going back to Push Square, there's also depth being added to player development with the right schedule. For example, you can transform a plucky right back into a devastating right winger, and you'll have control over how you want your entire team to train in between games. It's important because you'll have to micromanage fitness, ensuring that your key players peak at just the right time. So what this is getting into is in the career mode, you can also develop players, young players, by picking the trainings. And again, you can sim the trainings or you can do the trainings yourself. They're little mini games within it. I always sim them. But what this is saying is that you can actually start to change players' position, which I think is adding much more realism to the game. It's very common in real life to see players actually change position. So I think this is a really neat addition as well. Finally, transfers are also being tweaked with the addition of loaned to buy options. And if you choose a more financially constrained club, you can activate a financial takeover option that will effectively provide you with direct access to Roman Abramovich's account number and sort code. So you guys probably don't know who Roman Abramovich is. He owns Chelsea Football Club. He's also a Russian billionaire, oil oligarch guy. Bit of a shady character, but he likes to just throw his money around in real life. So I guess they're tapping into that in the game. Although that's not really new. You've been able to do financial takeovers for a while now. So I don't really know why they're highlighting this, but the loan to buy is pretty cool. That's a very common thing in world soccer right now, where you borrow a player from a club for the season. Like you make an agreement with them where you pay their wages and they come play with you for the season. And typically they're followed up with buy options. If the player settles in well at this new club, then the new club can buy them at the end of the loan. So it's kind of cool that they're adding in, again, just more realism into the career mode. So I'm pretty excited about it. I know you guys don't give a flying fuck about FIFA, but
I have some questions though.
I have a question too.
Okay. Hit me with it.
Go ahead, Adam.
Is there a way you can play the guys that pull the injured players off? That way you can kind of have the option to teabag.
Oh, for the love of God, Adam.
So I miss, actually, back in the old day, you used to be able to turn off, cards and stuff like that. So you could just go in and just wreck people. And eventually you could injure them and they'd have to go through their subs. And then they'd have no players left to sub, so you could injure their players slowly off throughout the game. That was brilliant. They should bring that shit back. But no,
that
I think
make the game interesting for me to play right there.
I don't think they have that anymore.
Oh my gosh. Okay, my question is like the career mode. Is it just the one season, or can you play like infinite seasons in the game?
I think it's pretty.
Or do you start over?
No, I think it's pretty, I don't know if there's like a cap to it, but certainly you can develop new players I haven't done this in a while, but 1 year, I don't know, probably back in college when I was really into it, like I got to where basically there weren't any of the real life players left, which kind of was lame. I was like, I got to start again. 'Cause after about 10 years, and none of the real life players are left. I don't really want to play with, Terry Sandbagging Lee. In
my
starting 11.
Wow. Okay. I was just curious.
Okay. I will move on from FIFA and go to our final news topic, which is Marvel's Avengers beta dates have been announced. So before I get into this, Marvel's Avengers is an upcoming game from Crystal Dynamics. Crystal Dynamics were the developers of those new Tomb Raider reboots, which were really good. This game is, obviously it's based in Marvel's, universe. The characters are not, based on the likenesses of the people that have played the characters in the movies. So there's a little bit of a, strange look to some of these characters, but, from what I understand is it's going to have a solo campaign and also online co-op for up to 4 players with various character customization options. You'll be able to play missions as all these different Marvel characters, Thor, Hulk, Captain America, Iron Man. So really get you into, if you're a Marvel person, really get you in and playing as these characters in a, what looks like a, you know, for graphically, it looks pretty good. Pretty good looking game. Now, I will say that there have been a couple of, they've called them War Table live streams, where they've actually shown some gameplay and gone through some of what you can do in the game. If this game is interesting to you, you should definitely go check it out. It looks like kind of third person. You're going to have missions. You're going to have single player missions. You're going to have co-op stuff that you can do. Maybe kind of a little bit like a Destiny, but as Marvel characters. I don't know. It could be a fun game for us to play together. I really need to go check out those videos, see a little bit more about the game. I kind of let myself get a little less hyped about it because of some of the commentary I've listened to when they first announced the game back at E3 of last year. So maybe I'm a little jaded by it and I have no reason to be. I should go check it out myself. But this is what this game is. They announced their beta dates. If you've pre-ordered on PlayStation, it's August 7th through 9th. The open beta on PlayStation and the open beta the open beta on PlayStation and the pre-order beta on Xbox One and PC is August 14th through 16th. And then the open beta for all platforms, August 21st through 23rd. Either of you interested in this game?
I am.
I was kind of like you with the losing the hype over it. I mean, actually, I wasn't really hyped to begin with after I saw the initial. I don't know, just seeing the likeness is kind of like, wow. This is not the Avengers. These are not my Avengers. These aren't them. And then I'm still going to give it a shot at the, during the open beta, just cause, I just kind of want to see what they do with it and how they tell the story and what the co-op will be all about and what the single story campaign will be about and how that will work between are you going to play as all throughout the story? Or are you going to be able to switch like you would in Final Fantasy? That's like that turn-based type mechanic, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how they do it.
What about you, Adam?
I'm kind of curious to see what the online co-op is going to be all about, because if it's anything like the Dragon Ball Z online co-op, it was kind of a letdown. If you're able to do more missions co-op, that would be really cool. Like, that would make it worth it.
Yeah, for sure.
I wonder if it's going to be like what kind of co-op is it going to be, like in the story, or is it just going to be kind of like just certain like one-time things where you can just do this one thing, like a zombies mode, I guess. I mean, that wouldn't be in Marvel, but still, like something just like specialist type, like they did in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. With those specialist type missions where it's just a one-time thing.
Yeah.
Didn't really have anything to do with the story.
So I know it says here that they revealed Hawkeye will be the first DLC character, bringing his own story mission that can be played either solo or cooperatively. So I'm sure they probably actually said this and we're just ill-prepared on this topic, but yes. It seems like maybe you could play the story missions cooperatively. They're talking about bringing new heroes, challenge rooms, and war zone missions later on. So I don't know what these challenge rooms and war zone missions are, but you know, maybe that challenge room is like what you're talking about, kind of like the zombies mode, but for fighting those alien creatures that spew out of the sky. I'm going to be honest. I'm not as well versed in Marvel Avengers movies as I am Star Wars. So you're going to have to forgive my ignorance on what some of these things are actually called, but maybe that's okay. Maybe that's what you do.
Possibly.
Yeah. Maybe. Just but killing Chitauris.
Like I said, as long as it's not as limiting as what the Dragon Ball Z online co-op was, then it'll be worth it for me. Also, if anybody listening is thinking at this point in time, God, these guys don't know what you're doing, please write us. Tell us. Let us know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I try to pick a broad range of topics here, and some of them are not going to be up everybody's alley. I do try to do a little bit of research on all these games. I tried to start watching this show earlier today, but unfortunately, I had to work. Yeah. Sadly, I have to work.
Dang it.
Yeah. Now, the one thing that I saw that kind of raised eyebrows for me is it says that pre-ordering Marvel's Avengers will also get you a free upgrade to PS5 or Xbox Series X version if you buy one of the upcoming next-gen consoles. Your save data and player profile will carry over, and the game will allow cross-gen play. So I think that's really cool. Cross-gen play, I see more and more developers saying that they're going to support that. But what I'm concerned about is they're saying if you pre-order, you'll get a free upgrade. So are they saying that if you don't pre-order, then you'll have to buy the game again? Because that's kind of shitty.
That's pretty bad. Yeah. That is not cool. Like, what? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I basically don't pre-order games anymore.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't either.
You know, sometimes, I mean, I'll still go buy certain games on release day. I just don't feel like the need to pre-order them anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. That's it for the main news stories. We're going to roll over to the wrap-up real quick. The PS Plus free games for this month have been announced. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Campaign Remastered is actually already available for August free games. And then Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout will be available on August 4th next week. This Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout, this is actually releasing in PlayStation Plus, and it looks really interesting. I wish you guys had PlayStations, but they being games media that have already got their hands on this game, are saying that they think it could be the first game to really give Rocket League a run for their money. So basically, it's essentially a Takeshi's Castle meets Wipeout or Ninja Warrior Battle Royale game. So 60 players start out, and you just try to run through these obstacle courses, and people just get knocked out randomly by all these weird obstacles that they have to try to run through. And eventually there's one character left standing, and he's the winner. So it's not like a PUBG Battle Royale. It's a slightly different take in that everybody starts on a starting line, and you got to try to chuck it through this weird obstacle course and not get knocked into the water. Or whatever off the edge of the map in this game is. So I'm actually looking forward to checking this out next week when it launches on August 4th. And I really wished you guys had PlayStations to try it too, but I'll let you know how it is.
I do have a PlayStation.
Yes, but you're all packed up. You're not playing any games right now.
That's true.
So that's not very helpful to me. All right. Also, this past week, Games with Gold, Xbox Live's Games with Gold was announced. August 1st through 31st, you can get Portal Knights. August 16th through September 15th, you can get Override on Xbox One. And then August 1 through 15, also you can get MX Unleashed, original Xbox game. And then from August 16th through 31st, you can get Red Faction 2, also an original Xbox game. I've noticed that lately Xbox Games with Gold's value, I think the games that they're announcing are not as good, but I can forgive them. I almost wish it would just go away and just give us new games in a Game Pass. I think that would be good enough for me.
Yeah, I've stopped downloading. I mean, I have Game Pass. And most of the games that have been coming out, I've had zero interest in playing.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. But still got to buy Xbox Live because of multiplayer. So,
yep.
Yeah. Mm.
All right. Speaking of Game Pass, there are four games leaving Game Pass at the end of this month. F1 2018. Now they've replaced that with F1 2019 and Game Pass. So just an upgrade there. Ashes Cricket, Rhyme, and the Banner Saga 3. So if any of those games you're interested in, you have like one day left to play them, or go ahead and buy them now because you get 20% off until they leave Game Pass. All right, and then the final wrap-up topic is Gears Tactics has officially been announced to be coming to console this holiday. Gears Tactics released back in May on PC. It's a turn-based strategy game spin-off of Gears of War. It looks really good graphically, and it plays really well. I've already tried it out on PC when it first came out. It's definitely a really neat take on the Gears franchise, and I think they did a good job moving over to the tactics, turn-based combat type gameplay for this. But yeah, so they've officially announced that it will be launching alongside the Xbox Series X this holiday. It'll also be on Xbox One. So that, look forward to that.
Right on.
Right on. All right. Finally, our next upcoming games. So a couple games released this week that I think are worth mentioning. Grounded, we already talked a lot about. We don't need to spend any more time on it. And then Destroy All Humans Remake. Did either of you play Destroy All Humans way back in the day? What was it, 2004, 2005 when it came out?
I actually did. I don't remember going too far into that because it kind of got boring for me after a while, but I do remember playing it.
Yeah, I never played it.
It's like Mars Attack, the video game. You get to be an alien and just kill a bunch of humans as you invade our planet.
Wow.
It does not take itself seriously. So don't worry. All right. That's the end of the news. We'll move into our final topic or our final section. The topic of the week. This week I chose What's Next for Next Gen. I thought that was a little bit of a clever title. You can laugh at me now. But the basic idea here, and I hope, Adam and Mike, that you got a lot to say here because the news really took it out of me this week. But the idea here is we talked a lot about the Xbox Showcase. We obviously hadn't started the show when PlayStation did their last show, but we kind of mentioned a little bit of what they were doing. What we don't know yet still is when are these consoles coming out? They keep saying holiday, but what date and what are they going to cost? So what's next for Sony and Microsoft? Do you think they're going to do another show? If you think so, when are they going to do it? What are they going to talk about? At the end of this, I'll do a roundtable and ask everybody when they think the release date is and what they think the price will be. So you don't need to worry about mentioning that in your little spiel here. But Mike, what's next?
For Sony, I think I don't really have a Sony. I don't have a PlayStation. I don't know that console very well, but I think they need to find something to kind of find an answer to Microsoft's Game Pass, because that is going to really hurt them in the future if they can't find an answer of a good way to compete against that. Microsoft, again, their Game Pass stuff is going to be great. It's going to work well for them. I actually really like that service, and I love that they're pressing that service really hard. And like I said, hopefully they keep supporting their first party game studios just so that way we can keep getting good quality games. But yeah, that's pretty much what I got. I think if they're going to do another showcase, it'll probably be late August to mid September sometime, just to kind of build a pipe for the releases coming in during the holiday. And has Sony done one already?
Yeah, they did one in June, I think, was when they had their show where they showed off the console. They showed, basically their games for the next 18 months. That's where they announced the Miles Morales Spider-Man game, Demon's Souls remake, Horizon Zero Dawn 2 was announced there. I think it was back in June. I can't remember the exact date. I should have come prepared with that. I'm failing, you guys.
It's okay. But yeah, that's pretty much all I have. Sony needs to find a good answer for Xbox's Game Pass, and Microsoft just needs to keep up the support for their first party game studios and keep putting out good games.
Adam,
about you, Adam?
Honestly, I'm going to give Sony the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to say they do have an answer for Game Pass. They're just not announcing it. Like, they're not trying to hype it up because they want to make us think that they don't have an answer. Like, kind of like letting Microsoft do what they're going to do. Be like, oh, yeah, go ahead. Keep talking. Wait till we have our turn. Like, that. I'm going to give them that benefit of the doubt. But you're right, Mike. If they do want to have a chance in hell they do need to come up with an answer.
Yep.
But I think that's just going to have to happen at like at another showcase. Like they just need to have another one.
Well, I mean, right. They have PlayStation Now, so it's really just about whether or not they would add their first party games to that service.
That's
pretty much what they need to do and make them. I mean, and they're already great games. So they just have to add them to that service.
Right. But I mean, looking at those sales numbers, do you think they need a service like that?
Well, I think right now it's fine, but like as soon as Microsoft starts getting this momentum with the service they're providing, people are going to kind of jump ship. That's what I think. And they may go back for one or two PlayStation games, and play those. But I think Sony needs to. I think that's the future, and Sony needs to recognize that. And maybe Adam's right. Maybe they have an answer to put. Maybe they put first party games in their service. But I don't know. We'll see what they do.
So just to clarify, the show was June 11th. That's when they did their show. And if you guys haven't watched it in full, I definitely recommend it. There's several Xbox games in there as well. Obviously, they don't say they're Xbox games, but you can tell which ones are not Sony exclusive. Adam, right. Mike mentioned he thinks maybe the next show would be late August or September. But they haven't announced a price yet or a release date. Do you think that they would do that outside of a show? If you don't, do you think they can wait beyond August to announce a price and release date?
I think if they do wait, August would be like the deadline. Like that would be where they need to do it. If they wait too long, they're going to risk people being like, well, I'm not going to have enough time to save up money to get the console, so I'm not even going to worry about it. I kind of feel like towards the end of August is like it. Like if you don't do it past that, then just don't do it.
They're pushing it there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I mean, you guys were retail guys just like me back before we all sort of decided the hell no with that. Well, we all remember Black Friday, and that's really... If these consoles are not out by Black Friday, I mean, that's just not, it's not realistic. They're going to be out by Black Friday. So that means that realistically we're already within 4 months of the console release, unless it's not coming out this holiday, unless there's an impending delay that nobody's mentioned.
Right.
Let's hope not.
I don't think there's a delay. Phil, what's your theory on why it's taking them so long to release a price? Like, I'm genuinely curious. Because, like, what I think they're just waiting on each other is my theory. Like, they're just waiting to see who, like, goes first. You know? Just so, like, I mean, I have no idea what's taking them. Is it normally like this as far as announcing a console price?
No, I don't think it is. If you recall back when the current-gen consoles were announced... They did the pricing announcement during E3 showcases, and traditionally E3 is always the second week of June. And traditionally Microsoft always had a Sunday showtime. It was either Sunday or a Monday showtime. It was Monday afternoon showtime, and Sony always went Monday night. That's how it always had been. And it was no different that year, 2013. Microsoft came out. They bundled the Kinect with the console. They gave you no option to buy them separately. And the price was $500, $499 US dollars. And, you know, a few hours later, Sony got up on stage and literally dropped the mic with a $399 price. And the rest is history, as they say. So I think you're correct. I think they're waiting on each other. What I've heard some people speculate is that Microsoft are going to try to take a hit on their console to sell consoles. I don't believe that's true. I think it's clear that they are focusing on Game Pass, and that's where they see their money. They're not necessarily trying to sell you a console this fall. So I think they're going to, I just don't see any merit in the rumors that they're going to try to undercut Sony's price. I can see them trying to match it. If they think that their console really needs to be $599, but Sony are going to launch at $499, I could see them matching it and taking a loss there. Mm-hmm. But I don't see them trying to purposely undercut Sony. Now, what could be concerning for Sony is that maybe $499 is not the price they can get to. And I think that is why we're seeing this. No, you go first. No, you go first. You go first.
Because so that hardware that they're putting in there is it's some high-end stuff. So
yeah, and like I said, we'll give our predictions on price. I'm not giving away any what I just said there is not it's not giving away what I think it is. I don't want you guys to say yet. We'll do that at the end of this little roundtable. But I think that's why you're seeing a little bit of a Mexican standoff, as it were, with the price.
Right. Okay.
But somebody's got to go. I'm 100% with you, Adam. They can't let this get out beyond August. There's just no way.
Yeah. I mean, because people, like, since we're in the middle of a pandemic, people are holding on to their money. And if they want to get people's money to on these new consoles, they have to put a price out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen some... I heard some conversation on... I'm going to just go ahead and plug it because I really, really like their podcast. I've told you guys about it before. They were my inspiration for starting this, but Sacred Symbols, it's Colin Moriarty and Chris Raygun Maldonado. It's great, great podcast, but they were talking on their show last week, I think it was, about the whole, if you look at the coronavirus pandemic, and you look at what the federal government here in the United States has been doing, they have been essentially paying you double unemployment. So if you were on unemployment, you were getting your normal unemployment check, and then you were also getting a second federal aid check for coronavirus. And I think that's ending either at the end of this month or in August sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And they were speculating that really – they should put these consoles up for pre-order before that ends because you got people that have more money than they're used to having. And they have cash to put down, but you know, we still haven't seen an announcement yet on that. There was, I don't know if you caught this, there was this crazy rumor that went out one day that Sony were just going to drop the pre-orders the week before Microsoft's game showcase, that they just out of the blue, 2 o'clock PlayStation blog post, pre-orders are up. And there was actually people lining up at stores to go pre-order this console on this rumor. And Sony were like, we don't know where this came from. This is not, this is not happening. So yeah, certainly there is rampant desire to give money to Sony right now for a console. Mike, what about the UI and backwards compatibility? I mean, these are both of these things really for either console we haven't heard a whole lot about. Do you think that's something that they want to tell us about? I mean, would they do that in a show or a blog post? What do you think?
I think it'd be better if they did in a show and actually showed you and kind of like explain their decisions behind what they've changed and why they changed it. And doing it with a show will just engage me more than reading in a blog post. And I hate reading. So I would actually prefer to watch a video, but I think doing a show would be better just in general. Just so that way they can walk through everything with you and kind of just show it off.
Yeah. 100%. I'm in complete agreement with that. Like I'm a visual learner. I'm not too much of a reader. So if I were to actually see it, then I'll be more convinced than I would be about reading it.
Yep.
Right on. I mean, there is Xbox Gate or not Xbox. Why did I say Xbox? Now it's totally slipped my mind. Gamescom is in August. I think it's like August 23rd. So maybe that's a place for either or both of these to do it. Although I don't think they're wanting to tie their name to a big show anymore. I think they like having their own spotlight on their own day. Adam, what about Xbox Series X in or Series S in quotes, the rumored Lockhart codenamed all digital console? So Sony has announced a disc version and a discless version, so an all digital PS5 that they will both launch together this holiday. So currently Microsoft have only announced the Series X, but there's been a lot of rumors that there's a quote Series S or Lockhart, as they supposedly refer to it internally. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think Microsoft really have something like that, or do you think they want to push people to the Xbox One, since they're going to still be launching first party exclusives there for the foreseeable future?
Honestly, this is the first I'm hearing about that one, to be honest with you. I mean, it would be cool to have an all digital version of a console, because like even in my car, like I don't even have a CD player anymore because I'm just using my Bluetooth all the time. Like I don't have to worry about CDs or anything. It just makes it more convenient. But
all about the convenience.
Exactly. So, but it's at the same time, you know, there is a difference between actually getting the disc and holding it in your hand. It's, you're like, yeah, I actually have it. You know what I mean? Like it's
right.
It just makes you feel different actually holding the game in your hand.
Right. I mean, I've heard also, I read a lot, and I don't remember where I read it at, but what I've read is that potentially this could be maybe an even cheaper version. So it's all digital, as well as maybe being geared towards 1080 or 1440 P TVs and monitors, as opposed to the whole 4K. So maybe a slightly underpowered version of the console, as well as being all digital, launching at a much lower price as a competitor to PS5. Would that be something that intrigued you, or would you say, nah, fuck that, I want the quote world's most powerful console that produces Craig the Brute?
honestly, as a consumer, I'm gonna go with the cheaper price, because if I have to spend like $500-$600 on something that's more than likely gonna sit there for a long period of time whenever I don't have time to play it, then it's just gonna be just a huge waste. And out of convenience, again, it would make more sense to buy the cheaper version and just deal with the 1080p. And especially for those who don't have a giant 4K TV like most of us do. Like that's that's the deal breaker. Like if you don't have this stuff, then there's no point of buying or selling the 4K part to it. Especially like Mike said last week, like not everybody has it.
Very true. Very true. Mike, do you have anything to add here? Is this the first you've heard of Xbox Series S rumors?
No, I've heard about it, but I'm okay with just going all. Like, I haven't bought a physical CD or like a game in years. Like, I'm it's fine with me. As far as getting the lower grade, I would prefer to get the one that produces the Brute, you know, like yes. I want, that's why I'm getting the if I'm going to get a next gen console, like I want to buy it for that. I mean, if I wanted to get something like nerfed, I would just go buy another Xbox One S.
Absolutely. All right. Let's give our predictions. Let's start with, when is the next show from Sony and Microsoft? I'll start with this one. Mm-hmm. I'll say that we will see both companies with another show sometime in August, with PlayStation going first. I'm going to say not next week, but the week after. And then Xbox going sometime towards the end of the month, possibly even at Gamescom. Mike, what do you think?
I think Sony, I said before, like, I don't have like specific dates like you before, like weeks after, but I think if they're going to be showcases, it's going to be between mid-August and, or like late August and mid-September, if they're going to do another showcase. And when is Gamescom again? You said that.
But I think it's August 23rd.
Okay, yeah. That's where I'm thinking. Because I think if anybody's going to go to Gamescom, it's going to be Sony. And Microsoft will have their own, just because they probably enjoy having, like you said, their own show where it's just about them. And they'll probably go a little bit later in September, early September.
Okay, Adam?
I think I'm going to go with Microsoft going first, because I think they're going to be too hell-bent on selling the Xbox One X and then the Game Pass, and they want to try to keep it in everybody's memories while it's still fresh. And then Sony's going to come back at the end of August and undercut the price whenever they actually announce it.
Okay. So to clarify my own mistake, already organizers have since confirmed plans for the online Gamescom opening night to start on 27 August, with each following day through 30 August to feature a schedule of online developer interviews and events and a wrap-up show. Originally, it was supposed to be August 25th through 29th before the COVID-19 pandemic. Right. Okay. Mike, you go first. Give us your release date and price. Let's do Xbox.
Xbox will probably be... Let me look at my calendar. I should have this open. I'm sorry. Xbox will probably be... I'm going to say Xbox and PlayStation will probably be the same week as Thanksgiving. So within the Thanksgiving week. So anywhere between the 23rd and 27th. And you say you wanted the price for the Xbox?
Give me the price for the Xbox, and I guess go ahead, do Xbox and PS5.
Okay, I believe they are going to be, I'm not going to give a specific price, I can only give a range, but it'll probably be between $450 and $550, somewhere between there. I really can't give a specific price. I just can't.
Okay. Adam, what about you?
I think I'm in agreement with Mike about when it's going to be around Thanksgiving. But as far as price goes, I think we're probably going to see a couple of different versions. Like, we're going to see the base version go for somewhere around $480 or something. And then you're going to see the Super Ultra Deluxe autographed version that comes with holographic UIs on top of the Xbox, and that's going to go for like $600 or $700. I mean, I'm being sarcastic, but you know, like the special edition that they're going to come out with, like with Halo, you know, the Halo skin on the Xbox, it's probably going to be around maybe $700 total.
So would you say the base for like the base would be like the base price?
I think it's going to be around $480.
Okay, so I'm pretty close to $500.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give you a date. I'm going to say November 17th. It's a Tuesday. It's the day Assassin's Creed Valhalla is scheduled to release, and they said that is going to be a launch game. I think that is giving away the launch date for these two consoles. I think they're going to release on the same day or within a week of each other. Maybe one will be the 10th and one will be the 17th. But I think they're going to both release on November 17th. I'm going to say that the PS5 disc version is going to launch at $599, and this is not going to go over well. And the discless version, the all digital version, is going to launch at $499, and Microsoft are going to come back and say, screw you, PS5. We are going to launch at $499 for the world's most powerful Craig simulator.
I love how specific you are, man. I It's impressive that you can break it down that much. I can't honestly give it like specific day. It's just there's too many factors. And is Valhalla not coming out for it's coming out for Xbox One. So I wouldn't it would be ready for the release of whenever they decide to release it, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a guess on my part, obviously. I just think that you guys are both correct that it's going to be before Thanksgiving. But I think they're going to give themselves a week before Thanksgiving, which would put it the week of November 17th. And
right,
I think Tuesday's a day. And I think Valhalla and the consoles are going to come out the same day. And that's what I'm going to go with.
All right. I'm going to write that down that way. If you're right, I'm gonna have you have me pick some lotto numbers based on how the stars are aligning.
All right, you got it. You got it. Okay, well, I think that's gonna wrap us up for this week. We didn't do that much better for time, guys. We will get there, I promise. It was my fault with the preamble, but who can say no to a good conspiracy? Lots of Craig memes. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the second episode of the TriCast Gaming Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Remember to like, subscribe, review on your podcasting app of choice. And if you have any questions for the show, DM us on Twitter or Facebook at TriCast Gaming P1 on Twitter and TriCast Gaming Podcast on Facebook. We will be back again next week with episode number 3. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Game hard.
Bye, guys.
Later.